trade or something equally minor.
Never to foul play. Something else, I pointed out. Straker knew he would only have one chance. He couldn't risk this tendon-nicking going wrong. You recall my long shot.
Oh, the sheep! The lame sheep! By God, he'd been practicing.
Exactly. Well done, Inspector.
But why? Why did he want to ruin me?
He didn't, Colonel. Not directly.
This is the final loose thread. A 37-pound walking outfit from Madame Lazurier of Bond Street. Mrs. Straker's explanation of Mr. William Derbyshire did not convince me. Men do not carry other people's bills about in their pockets, and you observed her manner when I mentioned the name.
Well, I put it down to her grief.
No, it is more than that. I believe that she had already divined the truth about her husband and Mr. Derbyshire, possibly some time ago. Women can be surprisingly resilient creatures.
What are you saying?
Straker and Derbyshire were one and the same. He was leading a double life.
One involving another woman.
As you told us yourself, Colonel, of his frequent trips to London.
Oh, God.
Madame Lisurier recognized Mr. Derbyshire at once from our photograph of Straker. An excellent customer whose dashing wife has a strong partiality for extremely expensive dresses.
I've no doubt that this woman led Straker head over heels into debt and straight into the welcoming arms of the moneylender.
I take it we must assume we had bets laid against Silver Blaze.
Bets that must suddenly have been placed with even more borrowed cash. It was a desperate scheme.
The fool. Why couldn't he have come to me? I've lost the best trainer I ever had.
But the murderer, Mr. Holmes... Who is the murderer? Straker may have been a villain, but murder cannot go unpunished.
You ask me, the fellow did me a favor. Getting to Straker before he had a chance to injure my horse, I'd give him a medal.
Colonel Ross, we're talking about a crime of the utmost seriousness. Now, Mr. Holmes, it can only have been another member of the Colonel's staff. But who? One of the lads? Surely not the maid.
No, not the maid. The murderer of John Straker is here now.
Here? Where?
In my company at the present moment.
Mr. Holmes, that is either a very bad joke or an insult.
Not you, Colonel. The murderer is standing just over there.
Good God. The horse.
The horse. They were there together in the darkness. And he undoubtedly sensed Draker's own tension and fear. Perhaps it was the sudden glare of the match, or that strange instinct that animals have when danger is near, whatever the cause. As Straker bent to his miserable task, Silver Blaze lashed out and killed him with a single blow.
Wonderful. Wonderful. You might have been there.
It was a privilege to listen to that, Mr. Holmes.
Thank you.
Wait. You've explained all but one thing.
What's that, Colonel?
Where exactly was the horse?
Ah, it bolted and was found wandering on the moor and cared for by one of your neighbors. We must have an amnesty in that direction, I think.
Very well. What matters is that Silver Blaze is home once more.
And as for delivering the murderer to justice... Well, no court in the land would declare him guilty. The verdict must clearly be... self-defense.
In Silver Blaze, Sherlock Holmes was played by Clive Medicine and Dr. Watson by Michael Williams, with Jack May as Colonel Ross. Inspector Gregory was played by Terence Edmund, John Straker by Fraser Carr, Mrs. Straker by Susan Sheridan, Silas Brown by Brett Usher, Fitzroy Simpson by Nigel Carrington, Ned by Mark Straker, and Edith by Petra Markham. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The violinist was Leonard Friedman. Silver Blaze was dramatized for radio by Bert Cools and directed by Patrick Rayner.